Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. He's Michael Lombardi out at his office in Ocean City. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. And usually we start the Monday show with the hi, how are you doings? How was the weekend? But we have to get into the news because we have a major bag alert today. Michael Lombardi, Justin Jefferson has officially become the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. What'd you make of the news when it came across your timeline?
Well, you know, I'm not sure it's true. Like, I saw on Sports Tech the numbers that came in, and it's 4 years of $140 million of new money. It's 5 years of $159.7 million total, okay? And that's just a slightly – when you add those numbers and average it out, it comes under 32, which A.J. Brown's at 32. So regardless of whether he's the highest paid non-quarterback, I mean – the deal looks like, oh, it's $35 million a year. I'm not sure it does based on what I'm learning from Sports Tech. But nonetheless, look, it's a wonderful deal for Justin Jefferson. They get him under contract. He's got 5 years. His cap number is just modestly $8.5 million this year, $15.3 million next year. Not too bad. He got a lot of guaranteed cash, $88.7 million guaranteed upon signing. So that's good. And the Wolf family and the Vikings organization put their money where their mouth is in terms of getting him under contract. Whether it's $31.7 million per year or if it's $35, which I don't think it is based on the numbers I'm looking at, it's still a hell of a deal. But if it's below A.J. Brown or just right there, then all of a sudden all the yelling from Tyreek Hill, who I predicted this was going to happen this morning. I mean, don't answer that telephone in Miami. You know who's calling. Hello, I'm Drew Rosenhaus. I'm calling for Tyreek Hill. How you doing today? You know, so, and then CeeDee Lamb, you know, Brandon Ayuk, I think, is uniquely different because he hasn't put together years to qualify, but certainly he's a good player.
So let's go into that because you bring up the numbers right off the top immediately. And I think this goes back to a guy like Tyreek Hill, who he's got $30 million a year, but that's kind of a fugazi $30 million a year too because of the way that the dollars and cents shake out and the verbiage and the contract and incentives and all of that. Like, how do these numbers come out to where everybody's saying, this is the dollar amount, this is the guarantee, and it's $35 million average annual value, but that's not the reality? Is this just agents trying to, like, pump up the contracts that they're getting their players?
Absolutely. Like, they count like the year, like that he had one more year left on a deal. And so what you count is what is the new money, right? What is the new money? So what's the practicality of the new money? And it's 125.7 over 4 years. He was going to earn the contract anyway. Now, if you want to add that contract in, it's 5 years, $159.7 million. If you do the math on 5 years, $159.7, it comes out to just slightly below $32 million per year. I don't know how else to do it. Like, but they do these things to kind of, because of next year, they don't want to get embarrassed. Now, as Tyreek Hill, he's due to make $19 million this year. He has a $100,000 workout bonus, and he's got another $250,000 in some other workout. Okay, but, you know, and then he's got two more years under contract. The last year, 26, is really avoidable year at $43.9 million base salary. So you know they're going to do something. But next year, he only goes up to 21. So the next 2 years, he basically is averaging $20 million per year. Okay, but they've got so much. His cap number's $31 million this year. And then next year it goes to 34, and the year after it goes to 56. So, look, they can guarantee his 19.6. That's no problem. But all of a sudden, it just makes the cap number in future years go up.
So we'll push this forward and continue talking a little bit later on about the ripple effects that this is going to have with other wide receivers. But to stick on the Viking side of it, first and foremost, with Justin Jefferson getting paid, like, we all expected and knew that when he got a deal, it would be that market resetter type deal. How much does this make sense with the Vikings now that they do have a quarterback under a rookie contract in J.J. McCarthy? And how much with paying Justin Jefferson are you banking on the fact that you made the right choice with J.J. that you'll get the most out of that contract to have this deal done?
Well, it gives them time. I mean, J.J.'s contract will be 4 years plus the fifth year option. This is a new contract that extends over – you know, it extends over the same length. So 24 is the rookie deal for McCarthy, right? And 28 will be the option year for McCarthy, which is the last year of Jefferson's deal. And Jefferson probably at that point, at 2028, you know, he'll probably be towards the end of his career, and it'll be time to pay McCarthy and add a young receiver. So they'll just keep doing that cycle, right? McCarthy's good, pay him, better draft a young player, right? But now they have the luxury to sign a quarterback at sign a non-quarterback at a quarterback kind of deal and let the young quarterback grow into his deal.
Okay. For ESPN's Field Yates posted this on X this morning. 5 of 8 highest paid non-quarterbacks now are wide receivers. Is the league properly viewing this position? And something that producer Elliot Bowman and I were talking about before the show as well, especially when you think about a Tyreek Hill situation, the potential for the Cincinnati Bengals and their quarterback wide receiver combinations. Can you pay a quarterback $50 million plus dollars and have a wide receiver that's making 30 plus and still expect to go and win Super Bowls and have enough to share the pie with everybody else on the team and build your roster up? Like, what is your general thought on the value of the wide receiver position right now and how it's risen?
Well, let's look at the last 10 years in the league. New England went to 4 Super Bowls, won 3. The Chiefs went to 4 Super Bowls, won 3. The Chiefs won 1 Super Bowl paying a young quarter, paying a receiver, and they decided they've won 2 more without paying. The Patriots never really paid a receiver. You know, they paid Edelman, but they never really paid at this level. So the answer to your question is it's not been really done, and it won't get done. Now, the Rams did. We know that with Cooper Kupp. We know they paid Stafford, and they paid Aaron Donald, and then they had a bunch of other guys in there. They got away with it for 1 year, and then it tore itself down. So it's not sustainable is the answer to the question. Mm-hmm. I think, to me, the biggest winner of all this, Stormy, the guy smiling the brightest, is not CeeDee Lamb. It's Micah Parsons. Because for all the talk about offensive skill players and the top players, these receivers being the highest paid non-quarterbacks, the guy that can sack the quarterback, like Nick Bosa, like Micah Parsons, they're going to get paid. And this just helps him. This just helps him. The question, would you trade Jefferson for Parsons? You're thinking about it, right? You're going to think about that one. Would you trade Jefferson for would you trade Parsons for Tyreek Hill? You're thinking about that, right? And so the money's going to be there, if not more. How about Nick Bosa for Hill? Think about it, right? Yeah. So I think, to me, these defensive players that can dominate a game and take over a game, especially in the defensive front, are going to get paid.
So I'm glad that you went down the Cowboys route, because CeeDee Lamb, of course, is the next big name that everybody's thinking about. Now that you know that the market is set with Justin Jefferson, you know what A.J. Brown is making, you imagine CeeDee Lamb's going to be between that 32 and 35, if that's the range that we're still talking about, at least on paper and what's outwardly being reported. But the Micah Parsons element of it is also very interesting, and neither one of these players were showing up at Cowboys OTA's minicamp gets underway for the Cowboys tomorrow. Who's going to be there, who's not, is a big question on a lot of people's minds. I know those two are stepping into the office a little bit later on in the show, but I'm curious from your standpoint, like, would you be at OTAs right now if you're trying to get this deal done? And to follow that up, is Dak the odd man out in this situation? Because it seems to me like he's not going to be getting a deal done.
That's the great question. I said that today on my pod. I thought, is Dak could be the odd man out? I mean, because he's getting into land where it's really expensive. You want to pay Lamb. You want to pay. You have to. Parsons, the guy you have to pay first for me. Now, the trend of the league is to pay receivers. I don't understand it, but that's the trend. We haven't seen a receiver take a team to a Super Bowl. Randy Moss is incredible, but he never took a team himself to a Super Bowl. He went to one with the Patriots. Is anybody better than Randy Moss? I mean, Jerry Rice was incredible, but his team was also good. It was non-cap as much as anything. But still, I think, to me, you know, Dak's got to be the one a little bit worried, because he keeps his number. I'm sure Dak's thinking, I'm going to get 60. Because Tua's sitting back there saying, well, okay, now that you paid, I'm going to get 55. So how do you pay Tua 55, paying Hill 30-plus, and Waddle 28? What's left for anybody else? I think it's really hard. And I think the Cowboys, probably the order should be Parsons, Lamb, Dak.
Yeah, and it's you mentioned the cap, and obviously we know the cap keeps going up, and so you think, oh, that means more money to go around, and it's like, no, it just means more money is going to the players that need the bigger contracts. It's not like that's being dispersed in a different way. And I like that you brought up wide receiver specifically, because Randy Moss, yes, you think about Cooper Kupp, as you mentioned, with the Super Bowl, maybe Mike Evans with the Bucks when they won their Super Bowl, highly paid players. But you look at the receivers that got extensions done this offseason: Jefferson, Jalen Waddle, Nico Collins, Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Michael Pittman, still to come potentially, CeeDee Lamb, Jamar Chase, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper, T. Higgins. What do all of these receivers have in common? That they haven't won a Super Bowl, right? Like, that's the thing that stands out here, is that they haven't done that. You have two players on this list who've played in one, I think. Yeah, three that have played in one but still haven't gotten there. So it's one of those things where you have to figure out how you're going to pay these guys and make everyone happy but still be able to build up your roster, because at the end of the day, everybody has the same ultimate goal, and that's to be a Super Bowl champion, and these wideouts haven't done that.
You're right, and you need depth on your team. I mean, you need depth on your team. Look, you need people that can put the ball in the end zone. There's no question about that. And Jefferson scored 30 touchdowns over his career. I mean, he's been really, really good. There's no denying his talent, and certainly he deserves it. I mean, the fact he, over his four-year career, he's got 260 first downs. He's averaged almost 100 yards per game. There's no question he deserves it. But they have the luxury with a rookie quarterback to do this.
Yes.
It's the same thing the Niners are dealing with. They can afford two high-priced receivers because they don't have a quarterback yet on a high payroll.
I don't think deserving at all is part of the question. You want to see the value of Justin Jefferson, look at the bank account of Kirk Cousins. We'll be right back. Plenty more news in the NFL to get into.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. We've got best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends, weekly columns, and right now on the homepage, betting previews for both the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Have the Celtics met their match, or are they destined for a title? And will a team north of the border finally win a cup, or will the Panthers get redemption from last year's Game 5 loss in Vegas? Whether you're looking for series plays and props or game-by-game breakdowns as we go, VSiN.com has you covered. Welcome back in to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Time for news or noise. Run that open.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
All right, Michael, we knew the Justin Jefferson headlines were newsworthy. That is the news of the day, of the week, of everything. But there's a lot of headlines out there that maybe not so much. Starting with this one that I'm curious your thoughts on. According to ESPN, New York Giants tight end Darren Waller is likely to make a decision by next week's mandatory minicamp about whether or not he will retire from the game. News or noise?
It's noise. I mean, he's already retired. I mean, he's 32 years old. He's played 28 games in the last 3 years. He's had 6 touchdowns in the last 3 years. His longest play, take a guess his longest play over last 3 years.
What is it? What is it?
31 yards. Woof. 31 yards. A Wolf is right. Buzz, your girlfriend. Wolf, right? I mean, like, seriously. Like, he's a great talent. He's a non-contact player. He'll look wonderful like he did this time last year in OTA days where there's no contact. But once it becomes a physical game, that's not Waller's game. He don't want to do that anymore. He wants to be a singer. I said it last year and got killed for it. Got destroyed for it, right? That's who he is. And so, like, don't, once a player goes down, oh, I'm thinking about retiring. You've retired. Mm-hmm. You've retired. Like, the reason this is we're still discussing is because they gave up a third-round pick for the guy for 52 catches and a 10.6-yard average, and that one touchdown, that was so good, right? They gave up a third-round pick for it.
Oh, man, some of these deals make you look back and just scratch your head. Absolutely. Darren Waller, of course, also, had a hamstring injuries each of the last 2 years as well. And you said it. He's moving on to his next career already. That music video was something. Okay, moving on. The 2024 NFL season kicks off in 94 days, but before teams take their final break before the late July training camps, we have mandatory mini camps upon us. 9 NFL teams holding mini camps this week. And while we've discussed in recent weeks the news and a lot of information that comes out of these OTA days, more noise than newsworthy. But how about now? Will the no-shows and reports from mandatory mini camp hold more weight?
Well, the guys that don't have contracts, obviously, you know, the franchise, it's only T. Higgins, right? Everybody else has a contract, and it's easy to miss. I think you get $1,500 a day to miss a minicamp. That's no big deal. But when you talk a serious cash come training camp, no, I don't think so. So it's all noise.
Okay.
It's all noise. Who cares? If you have a contract, okay. You know, you can maybe afford the $3,000 or the $4,500. It's not that hard, but when you start missing $50,000 a day, somebody's showing up. Trust me.
You're not letting that cash slip out of the pockets, no sir.
No.
The Eagles and Falcons have been under investigation for tampering since free agency due to the Saquon Barkley and Kirk Cousins acquisitions. According to Adam Schefter, the NFL is expected to resolve these cases soon and that the Falcons are expected to get it worse than the Eagles. News or noise?
Oh, I think it's news. And look, nobody's going to say that they could put together that deal as quickly as they did. Look, the Falcons have benefited from Kaiser Sose McKay being so wired to the league. I mean, they're pumping music into their stadium. Got caught for it, and they paid a fine. I mean, the Patriots didn't even deflate the balls and cost them $1 million in a first-round pick, and it was proven that it wasn't true. So they've been very fortunate. I don't think they can skirt this one. You can't put together this kind of deal this quickly without something going on beforehand. And we know that Minnesota was not going to go down the road, so somebody put it together quickly.
Yeah, by the way, one of my favorite lines from the roast of Tom Brady was at the end when he said, "You could have paid me millions of dollars and I would have told you I did it." So good. The Washington Commanders on Sunday night released kicker Brandon McManus. This comes 6 days after news broke of a lawsuit brought on by two flight attendants accusing McManus of sexual assault on a flight from Jacksonville to London in 2023. The Jags were sued as well. Now, I don't know whether this means the Commanders engaged in any type of investigation on their own or if this is an optics release. Given their team history, Michael, is this move with Washington news or noise as they try to usher in this new version of the Washington Commanders?
Well, I think you have to set Josh Harris, the new owner of the Washington Commanders or whatever we want to call them, has to have a standard of performance and acceptability. And obviously, when it comes to women on planes and drinking on airplanes and the things that we read about, there's no tolerance. It's a zero tolerance rule. And so, you know, I think Washington, if they're going to build the program, you are who you want to become. And if you accept it, that's who you are. And so I think they did the right thing. Now, McManus can claim he's innocent and all those things. But I think when you read some of the player comments that have come out since then, it doesn't look good for McManus. And he'll have his day in court.
Yeah, and I just think for this franchise specifically, given the transformational change that they're trying to have with this new ownership and new leadership from top to bottom, I don't blame them for essentially saying, hey, this guy's not good enough for us to have this type of a distraction on our hands. This is the new Commanders, right? Win total for Washington, 6.5. 8-1, a long third shot in the NFC East. The Buffalo Bills made a headline-worthy signing over the weekend. Is this news or noise? Buffalo bringing in Olympic gold medalist wrestler Gable Stevenson as a defensive tackle, something he has never done before in his athletic career. Michael, news or noise?
I think it's noise because, look, one thing about you cannot underestimate the level of instincts it takes to play defensive line. It's not a position of just sheer strength, power, and balance, which is, I'm sure Gable has all that, right? He's got strength. He's got great balance. You can't wrestle without great balance. And he's got lower body power. You have to have all those. But to play the defensive line in the NFL or at any level, you have to have really good instincts. You have to be able to read, diagnose, react quickly, transition your feet from run to pass. I think this would have been news if they would have said, we're going to make him an offensive lineman. Mm. Like, I think that's really where you've got a better chance, where you could teach him the fundamentals. It's not as instinctive as you need to be. You don't have to react. You have to block. When you're in a reaction position like defense, instincts take over, and you're born with it. You can't train instincts. There's too many defensive linemen that have been really good players, but they play what we call in sections. They step here, step there. You see it all the time in pass rushers. You wonder why a guy gets stuck on a block or why the guy isn't it. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. Walker from Jacksonville. He's a player. He plays Trayvon Walker. He plays in sections. He's not nearly as instinctive as Hutchinson. But if you went to work them both out, you'd say Walker's the better player. No, he's the better athlete. Hutchinson's the better player because he's instinctive. Walker's not.
I think it would be really cool if Gable came out here and was awesome and wreaked havoc and made the team and all these things. It feels a little bit gimmicky to me. Yeah. He, by the way, had never worn a pair of cleats, apparently, until his workout with the Buffalo Bills.
Good.
So not a good start. Not a good start. Let's close out this block, Michael, with today's edition of What's on Michael's Mind. I know something's weighing on your heart today.
Well, I mean, it's just the sad news that 52-year-old Larry Allen passed away today. The Dallas Cowboys issued a press release talking about the death of Larry Allen, one of the greatest offensive linemen that I've ever seen. You know, he went to Sonoma State up in Northern California. We were in Cleveland. Pat Hill, the former head coach of the Fresno State Bulldogs, was on our coaching staff. And Larry Allen was allegedly not able to get into a lot of schools. He was talented, but he couldn't pass the grading criteria to get into major colleges, so he went to Sonoma State. And his Wunderlich test score wasn't very good. It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't the standard of most. So he got what we would say an M grade, which meant that we have to do more investigation on the mental. So we sent Pat Hill out there on a Monday, and he took Larry into a classroom and went over all the notes and went over all the plays that he was going to install, took him on the field, coached him up on it, and then came back Thursday to see how much he retained. Because that's essentially what you're doing in pro football is, can you learn it? Can you keep it? Can you retain it? And Larry did. And so that made him a really valuable draft pick. Now, he didn't go to the top of the second round. We should have taken him. Obviously, we made a mistake. And the Cowboys let Jimmy Johnson got a great, great Hall of Fame player who played with great physicality. And the beautiful thing about Larry, he could have played anywhere on the offensive line. He could have played center. He played left tackle. And he was a dominating offensive lineman who could run, who could really run. That's the thing most people don't understand about offensive linemen. Foot speed is so important because you have to get your second step on the ground to be a good lineman. And he was really good at that.
That combination of side and speed can be lethal. He also reportedly benched 700 pounds. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers and feelings are certainly with his family. Larry Allen sadly passing away at the age of 52 while on a family vacation in Mexico. No cause of death has yet been reported. But remembering the Hall of Famer here on the Lombardi Line, we're going to step aside when we come back. Sportsbook director Thomas Gable joins the show.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Act now and save big for a limited time when you use the promo code Lombardi. You can get a VSiN annual subscription for $199, usually $240 price. Now when you get this deal, $199, and we're throwing in an extra month for free. 13 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Don't miss out. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe today and use the promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and bonus month. But this deal will not last long. VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code Lombardi. This is VSiN, the sports betting network, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. There are a few players and executives, Michael, that need a conversation and have appointments at the desk. It's time for Step Into My Office.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk winger. Step Into My Office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
All right, I told you that Tyreek Hill had an appointment. He is sitting down in the office of Michael Lombardi after entering the offseason as the league's highest paid wide receiver at $30 million average annual value. Kind of a fugazi 30 $30 million to begin with. He has now been leapfrogged by Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, and this morning, Justin Jefferson. Also saw his teammate Jalen Waddle get a new deal last week. Tyreek Hill's in the office, Michael. He's asking, should my agent be getting me more? What's your response?
Well, the question isn't should my agent be getting me more, is Miami should be calling me, because Miami needs me badly. I just saw a picture of Tua, Tyreek, and, you know, I don't know if he's going to hold up. But the offense, as you and I both know, is centered around you and Waddle. 80%. When you're on the field, the ball's coming to you. When you're off the field, it's probably going to be a run. So I don't know if you really need to panic or do anything. I think you can just be indifferent. Just act as if nothing's going on. Whistle, go to work. But they know that you mean business. They know they've got to come to you, and keep saying no. Keep saying no. Don't get desperate. Keep saying no, because they're going to keep pushing money towards you. They have to. Their season is predicated on you being there. We know the offense falls apart. Waddle gets doubled. And all of a sudden, you think the ball's going to Beckham? I don't think so. You think teams are going to play coverage the same way when you're not on the field as if you are? You are the best receiver in football. You scare the hell out of everybody. You scare me, and I'm not even at the game. So, like, what am I talking about? Don't answer the phone. The best thing you have going for you is say no. 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 Now, at some point, you're going to say yes when it gets to the right number. But right now, don't act desperate. Don't make Rosenhaus call. They should be calling you. They've already admitted to Adam Schefter that they know they have to do something. Now we'll see what they do.
And he has, of course, the evidentiary on-field support of last season when he was out, the way that it impacted the offense and his quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. We'll stick with the wide receiver trend here. As John Lynch, general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, steps into the office, Michael, you've reported the Steelers believed they had a deal done for either Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel earlier this offseason, which obviously fell through. Ayuk's looking for a $30-plus million extension. Deebo's contract is going to have a huge cap hit this season. My husband so thoughtfully texted me that the 49ers are cooked because of this wide receiver situation. Now that Justin Jefferson's reset the market in this way, Michael, how should San Francisco handle their wideout duo?
Well, I think they have to have a short, John, you got to have a short-term plan and a long-term plan. And the long-term plan probably doesn't include Deebo, because we know Deebo is a great player, but Deebo doesn't really have a position. It's the brilliance of your coach, Kyle Shanahan, that allows Deebo to shine, because when the ball is in his hands, he is an elite running back. And we know that for running routes and lining up outside the numbers, Ayuk's the better player. If it's 3rd and 8 and we got to win on the outside, it's going to be Ayuk winning out there, not Deebo. Now, Pearsall's better and could come along, and certainly that gives us a luxury. Jacob Cowling has shown speed and quickness, and that gives you another luxury. But I think at some point, you know you're going to have to make a decision, Ayuk or Samuel. But you could defer that decision until next year. You can get as much out of Deebo as you can, make this one run, which is what I think they'll do. Because this really isn't about Samuel or Ayuk. This is about Purdy. You're going to have to pay Purdy. And Chris is wrong in thinking they're cooked, because they'll pay Purdy, and they'll have a receiver, and they'll have Bosa, and they'll continue to draft, and they'll take running backs at a cheap value. They'll lose McCaffrey at some point because of age, and they'll replace him with someone else who's a good player, who may not be as good as Christian, but they'll replace him and get his money and shift it to a receiver. So they're in good shape, but they can't have it with Purdy under contract for a huge deal. So one more year at this, and then next year, Pearsall will be ready to be the next receiver, and Ayuk or somebody will be on the outside, and you'll have extra draft picks to go with it. So I think patience is a virtue. And look, Ayuk's got to come to camp. He's got a contract.
Yeah. The San Francisco 49ers, the favorite to come out of the NFC, second shortest shot to win the Super Bowl behind only the Kansas City Chiefs. And like I always say to Chris, those who live in Carolina Panthers houses should not be throwing stones.
Yeah.
Neither.
Yeah. Listen to him throwing stones. I mean, could you imagine that? Like, can you imagine that he ceased challenging? I mean, he won 2 games last year. He couldn't score a point, and now he's worried about some other team. I think he ought to worry about his own team at first, right?
The audacity of that man in my household. Okay, Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb are coming to the office together, Michael. Neither one of them were on We're at the Star in Frisco for OTA practices this offseason. Mandatory mini camp in Dallas begins tomorrow, June 4th. Both guys are sitting at your desk today asking what will work best for us to get our cash money homie sooner rather than later. Should they come to mini camp? Should they not? Where do things stand for in your mind with Parsons and Lamb?
Well, I think you should both go to minicamp. Why give back money? You know, you're under contract. They can fine you. But I think, Micah, you're in the best position because you're going to get a ridiculous deal. And CD, your deal's easy to do. It's you got $17.7 million this year. You know that Jefferson just got $140 million of new money and four more years. So you 5 years at $157 million. That comes out to slightly below $32 million. You should take that deal. If Jerry will guarantee at 90 instead of the 88, you should take that deal. That's an easy deal to do. It's not that complicated. How we split it up and how the cash flow goes, you're going to be an easy deal to do. Parsons is going to be a hard deal to do. We know where Bosa's numbers is, and we're going to get above Bosa because Bosa's deal was done 2 years ago. So to me, I think you just go there. You're not going to do very much, but you're going to go there because you got to come to camp. Why give away 50 grand a year when you know you have to be there anyway?
Let's go to hoops. Kyrie Irving, 6 years leaving Boston, is set to face his former team in the NBA Finals beginning this Thursday. Kyrie spent two seasons with the Celtics from 17 to 19. And it's no secret the relationship did not end on the best of terms. How should Irving approach this series and all the bad blood with C's fans?
Well, I think, Kyrie, you should approach it as if, you know, you haven't changed. You're still the same guy. You love basketball. You're just in a very comfortable situation, and you have a relationship with Jason Kidd that extends beyond the basketball court. And your role and your maturity has changed. I mean, we're all evolving. We are all becoming something different than we once were. And don't run from it. Like, don't run from it. Don't be stubborn about it. You know, accept your responsibility. Be an adult. And honestly say, look, you know, that's how I was then. I've changed. I'm in a better environment. It's worked out. Saved my life coming here. And I regret that it didn't work out in Boston. I apologize for it. But I'm in a better place now, and I'm looking forward. So I think you should embrace your past, learn from it, but don't dwell on it.
Irving, Luka, and the Mavs, a plus 175 underdog in the series against the Celtics. They are also getting 6.5 points in game one coming up Thursday, where we also expect to see Kristaps Porzingis for the first time since the first round. He suffered a calf injury in the first round of the playoffs, has not hit the court in more than a month since. According to reports, though, he is on track to also be playing against his former team. What does Kristaps Porzingis need to focus on to be his most effective self in the finals?
Well, I think he just needs to be him. I think he just needs to go with the flow. Kind of blend yourself in. Don't try to take the game over. Don't try to become bigger than the game. And just play your role because your team's really good. You don't need to be a Superman. You don't need to be a hero. All you need to be is yourself. And your conditioning, we all know, is going to be a little less than it's been. So just take your time, grow into the role, and, you know, help your team in any little way possible to contribute to win a title that Boston so desperately needs. Because let's be clear here, this team is not going to be the same team next year because they're so far over. They paid like $20 million in luxury taxes. They really went all in. You talk about going all in, they went all in. And so enjoy the moment while you can.
Would you be, because he is coming off injury, if you're looking at individual props, just targeting unders on him early?
Yep, I would. I mean, look, I Boston's a three-point shooting team. You know, they're a really good defensive team, and he's their best rim protector. And I think there's ways for him to ease himself into the game as opposed to trying to take the game over. And his conditioning, look, you know, none of these conditioning levels will be exhausting because Dallas, you know, look, they've all been playing. Everybody's been playing other than him.
Plenty of time over the coming days to dive more into that series when we come back to the NFL with Simon Hunter next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends, and right now on the homepage, betting previews for both the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Whether you're looking for series plays and props or game-by-game breakdowns as we go, VSiN.com has you covered. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And you all know we are all NFL all the time on this program. And thankfully, Simon Hunter shares that sentiment as well, who joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Professional bettor, Action Network NFL betting analyst, also host of The Favorites Pod. You can follow him on X at Simon Hunter NFL. And I didn't know that I was going to be the odd man out here in the New Jersey ties that we have, Simon. Welcome in. How are we doing?
Yeah, just a couple Jersey guys. I mean, luckily, we're not the Jersey Shore type you're thinking of. That's North Jersey. We're more South Jersey kind of guys.
I'm glad he clarified, right, Michael. I'm glad he clarified.
Well, you know, I listened to his pod. It's great. He and Chad Millman on the Action Network, I listened to him, and they do a wonderful job. And, you know, Simon has been around here a long time in the great state of New Jersey, so I thought it would be wonderful to get him on. So let's talk week one, Simon. Is there a game that you kind of, when the number came out, like for me, you know, when I looked at week one, I was a little bit taken back. Like, how is Chicago a 4.5-point favorite over anybody? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, if you want to jump right in on week one lines, the key to that one, though, is there are certain games you can wait on, right? So that's a game where I agree with you. Initial gut reaction is take the 4.5. But I think most professionals view that as a team you can sit on. And this line might get to 6. If Will Levis doesn't look great in preseason and, you know, the Williams is incredible with this Bears offense and hard knocks, this number can get to 6 by kickoff. So that's the kind of game where, yeah, your initial reaction's right, but you can be patient on those kind of games. You can wait and let the public really come in and bet that one, because this is a game where all the parlays, all the teasers, they're going to love the Bears in that number. That's just a number that's going to keep going up.
Simon, so that's interesting. Can you take us into your perspective a little bit when it comes to offseason betting the NFL? When these numbers become available and the schedule is released, are you firing on any of these games right away? Are you waiting to get through training camp and injuries and finding out who's going to go where? Like, what's your perspective on the NFL June 3rd?
Yeah, honestly, the best analogy everyone I got in the business about 10, 15 years ago was a guy said, week one, lines come out. It's like a bunch of crabs in the bucket, right? Everyone's pulling each other down, just trying to get the best number for everyone else, and the books move the number. So I would say the biggest one that jumped out to me was that Ravens-Chiefs game, week one, the total opened at 49.5 at a lot of books, and the numbers moved by 3 points to the under. So the professionals like me, I came in very heavy on that opening night total where – the Ravens offense isn't going to be as good as it was last year. And the same could be said for the Chiefs, that they're going to struggle as well. So that's the kind of thing where, yeah, everyone, as soon as those kind of numbers come out, especially a primetime game like that, all the professionals come in heavy. But again, you're only able to get a couple of thousand down just because the books, they want to protect themselves. So they're not going to be taking big wages. It's really a filling out process here in the first couple of weeks.
What is your strategy in week one? For me, it's always about I always go back and look at how teams perform, the coaches more than anything. Like, I know Sean McVay doesn't practice hard, but his teams are always ready on opening day. Kyle Shanahan, he's not as great on opening day as some other teams. We saw him lose. What's your strategy when it comes to opening day? Is it just the number, or are you looking at the coaches and what they typically build their team towards?
Yeah, definitely all of it. I mean, like, really – I love playing my own numbers, so I have a model that gives me numbers, and that's really what I'm basing off of. But I like hearing all the trends, and I like talking about the different coaching styles, who has advantages early on. But definitely my view of it is always going to be, where's the value at? And usually value is going to be public perception, right? People are betting week one based off last year, which I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it is. It's a new year. You know it is. I mean, the NFL turnover rate is so crazy, the coaching movement, all of it, every year is kind of different. So that's one of those where I kind of play off last year. Like, an easy one to me, week one, you're taking the Colts at home against Houston. They're a divisional dog at home in week one, where Houston is just, giving themselves the amount of flowers you can't believe. I mean, CJ, is out here doing podcasts saying that he's a top five quarterback in the league. You can't get bigger heads right now. So that's an easy position of, I love Shane Steichen. I love the Colts. I love that they played so well against Houston last year with Minshew. And now they have a freak athlete coming in Richardson that's just, teams are only not a pair for him because he had so much little film on him last year. So that's a big one for me where the professionals love the Colts week one. The public, Joe Schmo, they love Houston week one.
Well, and the betting market shows that as well because Stroud's tied for the second shortest shot with Josh Allen to be the regular season MVP this year. So the head's just going to continue to get bigger on that standpoint. Simon Hunter joining us, professional bettor and Action Network NFL betting analyst on the Progressive guest line here. As far, I mean, you mentioned the word value, and I feel like in betting, that's the word that is constantly coming up because we're all trying to find that value on the board, whether it be game by game or in the futures market. When it comes to these divisions or season win totals, is there any team in your mind that is undervalued at this point still available in the market?
Yeah, there's a bunch. I'll start negative so we can end on a happy note.
Okay.
So I'll start with my team to fade. This is going against a lot of what people are going to hear this whole summer, but it's to me, it's one of the easiest bets out there. It's the under on Green Bay 9.5. And it's just people are just loving too much with Jordan Love because he played really well for half a season. If you go back and look, things just broke their way to get to the playoffs where they played Carolina and they just snuck by. They beat them by 3. Then they played a Vikings team in their fifth quarterback. Then they ended on the Bears. And then in the playoffs, they played a Dallas team that, let's face it, I mean, Jordan Love played well, but that really was a Dak falling apart. And they caught a 49ers team kind of sleep at the wheel. So right now, everyone you talk to is all in on Green Bay, Jordan Love, and just they love this team where, to me, it's too quick. It's too many things broke right. I don't think he's as great as people perceive. He is very talented, but that is a young team overall. And that's the division. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was last year. I think it's gotten better. And their schedule will be tougher as well because they did make the playoffs. So that's a team to me. You can get at a plus number right now, under 9.5 on Green Bay. That's right away where I want to start, where that's a team that's just they got there too early and teams are going to overreact. Four teams from last year's playoffs are going to miss the playoffs. That's a given. They just really fit that bill of a team that will regress just because they overextended what they should have done last year.
How about the positive side? Who do you think is undervalued?
I mean, people are going to love this. Let's head up to New York. I mean, I love both New York teams. We'll start with the Jets. They're going to have the really nice break of an easy schedule. If you look at it, I think they're going to lose week one. So you can wait if you do want to bet their futures. I do have the 49ers beating them week one, you know, that's just a tough spot to put Aaron Rodgers in his first game back on the road Monday night in a place he struggled against the San Francisco 49ers. But then look at their next five games. It's pretty winnable. And if that team can get out to a 5-1 lead, I don't even care if Rodgers goes down eventually. They brought in Tyrod Taylor as a backup. All you need is a game manager in that team. I mean, the weapons they have on offense, I know their offensive line has a lot of veterans and young guys. If they can put it together and stay healthy, I just think that this team has a ton of value based on schedule, the weakness in their division. It's just all there for this one year for this Jets team. So you can get their over right now at a plus number. I like that team to – last year I wanted to fade them because I just knew there was too much hype. This year I think it just all sets up well. But even if Aaron Rodgers half the man he used to be, that's the best quarterback they've had since – I mean, what, 40 years? I mean, let's be serious about this Jets franchise. So I'm really excited for their upside this season.
You said both New York teams,
and the Giants?
Though. So, yeah, I need to hear your sales pitch for the Giants.
I know it's people just don't want to believe it because, again, it's based off what they saw last year. But this team had a season from hell, and this random Jersey kid, this 22-year-old, who should be, you know, working at a pizzeria, came out there and won them a couple games. Like, this team will be so much better once Daniel Jones is back. And now they have Davis. I think Hyatt's slept on their wide receivers, another really good on the outside. People are rating the Barkley departure as well. Like, we've seen it time and time again. These running backs don't really move the needles unless they're going to a great team. So Barkley, big upgrade for the Eagles, but I don't think it's that big of a loss for this Giants team. So to me, Daniel Jones, too much is being put on him for being a bust and not being that great. He's on his second contract here, and I think this is a big year for him where he knows this is it, right? He's got to produce this year, got to get him back to the playoffs, or he is going to be most likely moved on from. So, again, 6.5 plus number on the over. It's just a team I'm really excited about, the Giants, that I think everyone likes a new toy in Washington where the Giants is where I get the value. It's a team that underperformed last year. Now they're healthy. And as bad as Daniel Jones, people make him out to be, Dabo knows how to set him up in the system that he can play well in it. So that's another team I'm just really excited about.
Simon, we're up against it, but expect us to bug you more this offseason.
You like the Giants in week one, I take it then too, huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. What a time to be alive. I know you said you're not a Jersey Shore guy, but Jim Tan Laundry isn't a bad life. We appreciate you, Simon. Talk to you soon.
Great job, Simon. Thank you.